All right, we are here. Welcome, welcome. We have established a nice vortex for you. Vortices are wonderful, wonderful energy patterns that allow you to release stuff into your world, to release stuff into the light, to let go of that which you do not wish to keep. So during the time that we speak and answer questions, and also when we go through the closing meditation, feel free to throw into the vortex anything you don't want to keep, anything mental, emotional, spiritual, as well as physical. And so let us begin with our topic of the day, the law of attraction. Now, this is a very popular topic, books, workshops, lots of study groups have been formed to study this, to talk about it, to go into depth about it, to understand it deeper and deeper. But we'd like to say that it all reflects a certain level of understanding, because just the use of the word law is a little bit distracting, we would say. There are people who want to be authorities, and so they're going to tell you what the law is. The law is some immutable, some total limitation, boundary, within which you must function and operate, you must work and operate according to the law. With the implication, of course, since you have laws in your physical plane societies, that if you were to violate this law, then something bad will happen. With the law of attraction, if you do not obey the law of attraction, if you do not work with it correctly, you won't get anything. And so a lot of people who use the law of attraction as their major focus, their major MO, method of operation, to create and manifest reality, are trying to follow the law to the letter. They're trying to get the interpretation of the law just right and to do it all just right, so that they can get that manifestation that they desire. Well, you see, you are a very profound, amazing light being. You came into this world by choice. You chose to become physical. You chose to explore the realms of creation. You explore manifestation out of your own free will choice. And so what you did is that you made arrangements of a very nice and very useful illusion. Like a magician with smoke and mirrors, you put together a physical plane reality to work with. And you decided to go into it full tilt. You were going to go in there, really get into it, really explore it, really experience everything. Experience the senses, experience all the darkness, all the separation, all the positive, all the light, all the love. To find a distinction between yourself, to distinguish yourself as an individual. And from there, to become the most beautiful, most perfect, most brilliant individual that you are, that you can be. And then from there, to return to the oneness, return to the bliss of God, Goddess, all that is, the union. Well, as part of your arrangement being here, you made arrangements with your reality, the illusion that you created and co-created with your crew. Your crew, higher self, soul, spirit, spirit guides, helpers, mentors, masters, teachers, help, and all. and you've put this together with a certain consistency, a certain order, a sense of divine order. We would say this is eighth dimension in the way that you would think. And so the lower seven dimensions are the creation that you are experiencing. You're aware of three, actually four. You're aware of length, width, depth, and time and space. You're aware of that. You function in that. Everything moves through your reality in those four dimensions, but you're actually functioning all the time on the fifth, sixth, and seventh as well. On your physical plane, you have a certain consistency so that you can work with it, so that it can make sense to you, so you can have definitions of boundaries. Boundaries are extremely important to you. They define your identity, yourself as opposed to others, so that you can love another, so you can receive love from another, so that you can create something supposedly out there, that you can receive something from out there to you here. You forgot that it's all happening inside you, but you created this wonderful sense of order. This is what some people call laws. In other words, a table is solid. You can knock on the table and your hand will not go through. Your law of reality dictates that your hand is solid, three-dimensional, and so is a table, and therefore they will hit each other on a boundary, but they will not merge. There's a certain density. And so you decided that this applied to everything. And so there are those who would like to be authorities, as we say, and they would like to say, this is the law. And you must operate according to the law. Well, frankly, you created these laws in the first place. And as you go home, as you become enlightened, awakened, as you become self-realized, understanding who you are, the God being that you are, the divine nature of yourself, you get to upgrade these laws, quote-unquote. You get to create your sense of order depending on what your level of vibration is. If you're highly evolved, as you put it, if you have a knowledge of yourself and an awareness of who you are as the divine, and you can function from that place, these quote-unquote laws will be shifted, changed, adjusted. They are not impermeable. They are not solid. They are not real, except to the extent that you like the consistency of them. So the law of attraction indicates that you have found a very useful mechanism for manifesting, in which your reality is attracted to you. Well, now, that attraction is set up by you in the first place. It is your arrangement. What is it then that is being attracted to you? And what is it attracted by? There implies that there also is a lack of attraction somewhere. Right. We would have to say that that is a division that creates a specific kind of focus on the law of attraction that makes it kind of limited. Because you are receiving every single moment, every second. You could not exist here if you were not receiving big time. You're receiving light. You're receiving energy. You're receiving power. You're receiving forces of nature. You are receiving vibrations and emanations from everywhere, all the time. So it comes down to the law of attraction being specifically that you want to have in your life something specific. Now, generally, it is seen as something that exists outside of you. That there is a gap between where you are right now and that which you have and own and can call your stuff or your circumstances in life, and what it is that you would desire to have instead. Since you're always wanting your life to be better, there is always a gap between where you are and where you want to be. There will always be a gap there when you perceive it through that filter. The thing is, you are where you want to be. But you're having a preference, you're making a choice that you want to play with a certain new reality. So you'd like to create it, like to attract it, you would think, to you. As if it's out there, objectively, wandering around, just looking for somebody to attach to. Over here, please, come this way. I would like that money to come here. I would like that opportunity to come here. I would like that job to come here. I would like that relationship to come here. And so you define yourself as what is here, who you are here. Now, you're continuously putting out energy. In other words, you're continuously giving energy. And you're not giving your energy most of the time, or most of you, most of the time, giving your energy with that same kind of deliberateness that you want to receive certain things with. So in order to create the illusion of attraction, you have to have a sense of yourself and the other worlds out there, the objective, quote-unquote, world, and that somehow or another you can magnetize to yourself those specific things that you want to focus on. And hopefully, if you believe that those things can come to you, if you believe in the law of attraction, and you believe that you will have those things, then somehow or another you will have them. Somehow or another, out of all the many possibilities out there, you will be able to selectively pull in certain experiences, certain things to you. Now, within a certain sphere of influence, you do that all the time. Everything that comes to you now, that appears to come from out there to in here, everything that appears to do that, it's just part of you living your light, your energy. You are actually broadcasting certain frequencies into your illusion to manipulate and change the illusion and shift it accordingly. According to your belief, according to your identity. We've talked about belief and identity before. They are critical for any kind of manifestation. You got to know, you know, who you are and what you want. Your identity as yourself is significant. Because truly, if you were to define the law of attraction, it would be that whatever level of vibration you exist at, i.e. whatever your identity is, whatever your knowing is of who you are as the being that you are, will attract and bring to you a comparable reality at that level of vibration. In other words, your reality will match your vibration. So the secret is already inherent in that definition. If you raise your vibration, you're going to see a different reality. If you lower your vibration, if you shrink and fall back into old negative limiting patterns of your childhood, of your youth, of your adolescence or 20s, what reality will show up there? A reality consistent with who you were then. It's very simple, really. But first you have to acknowledge that everything that you have in your life right now, you have, quote-unquote, attracted. You have sent out certain vibrations saying, here's who I am. And your reality, your friend that works with you, sends back to you a reality consistent with that expression that you send out, here's who I am. Now, you know, we've told you many times, that you are a light being. You're a divine being. You're a powerful reality creator. You have created all of this. Amazing. Phenomenal. You've done such a good job. It's so consistent. But you don't send out the vibrations of yourself being this powerful reality creator. If you still have in your self-image a sense of shame, a sense of despair, self-pity, self-loathing and judgment, judgment of others, old emotional issues unresolved, old angers held on to, tremendous useless fears held on to. If you're playing with all that kind of stuff, you can go into meditation, you can go to a satsang, you can go to a church, you can go to an ashram on top of a mountain and be in total unmitigated bliss. But if when you interact with your illusion, with your world that you've created, this blissful, this powerful, this extraordinary, shining, radiant one is not the one doing the interaction with your reality, then that's not what you're radiating. You're not going to get a reality congruent with you, the light being, with you in your bliss, in your ecstasy, in your spiritual awakening. You're going to get a reality that reflects you, that reflects what you have yet to heal in yourself, that reflects what is going on in your emotional body, what old patterns and judgments and beliefs, limiting beliefs you still hold on to. That's what comes back to you. That's what you see on this screen, this movie screen that you call life. So obviously, if there are certain things that you desire, you need to be at the level, vibrationally speaking, resonating in the light on a level that is consistent and congruent with that reality you want, that you desire. It's the same old thing that if you want to win the lottery, you've got to be a lottery winner. You do have to buy a ticket. You have to somehow or another make an availability out there. And that's where you give. You give your request. You say, this is what I desire. I am imagining something that's going to make my life feel better. It's going to make me feel happier. I'm going to feel more joyful. I'm going to be more like who I really am, the spiritual being in ecstasy and bliss and oneness. And so this thing that I would like to have come to me, I perceive as helping me, enabling me, supporting me in being this blissful, happy person. Because when I get it, I will be so happy. This thing that I want, this relationship, this love, this job, this opportunity, this manifestation, this healing, whatever it is I want, will make me happy. It will support my self-realization, my God-realization. It will support my spiritual journey. It will make my life happy. But you see, external stuff, you've been told this many a times, we just are reinforcing it. External stuff doesn't make you happy. It doesn't do anything to you. You're not a victim. This external reality, it can bring you what you have wished for, desired for, and everything. But it won't necessarily make you happy. Again, using the lottery, the Florida lottery winners were interviewed 2-3 years after winning the lottery, and most of them said, well, my life has really gone to hell since. You know, all my family members and everybody who's known me since childhood has come looking for a handout. I've gotten problems in my relationship. I broke up. I got a divorce. My children won't speak to me. And all the money's gone. And now I'm just left with all this bad feelings. Life is the way what it was before, except worse. And that was for the majority of them. And people hearing this report are just dumbfounded. They can't believe it. That can't be possible. Somebody winning all that money must be happy. They must have a good life. What's wrong with these people? If by some opportune moment you decide to gift yourself that which you desire, and you let it come in, you actually receive on that level, receive big, and you let that which you want come in to you. But you don't stay at that level. You respond to it as the person you were, as a person you were years ago, with old emotional reactions, with perhaps paranoia, anger, fear, all that type of stuff, feeling victimized. What's going to happen to the manifestation? It's going to dissolve. It's going to disappear. That's why so many people become tremendous successes. You've heard about these, you know, the flash in the pan. You know, there's like bands that become famous and they have a one-hit wonder. One album, big time. And then what happened to them a few years ago? Whatever happened to so-and-so? Whatever happened to that band? Where are they now? Well, they broke up. You know, just look at the Beatles. Beatles were so successful, and then they kind of fell apart from within the ranks, holding on to that. It was so stressful, that success. You can see it in a lot of people who become extraordinarily successful, whether for a short or long period of time. But eventually, those successes will wane unless the person can step up to the plate and be that person for whom that reality is congruent. So the law of attraction is essentially about that. You can send your wishes out to the universe, talking to your universe, your friend, your reality as a friend, saying, please, I would like this. But then you're at that place where you sense the gap. You're not at that place where you could have that as a natural part of yourself. You put it out there, and you wait for it to come, thinking that it will launch you up to that higher frequency, to that greater life that you desire. But what we would like to suggest, to utilize the law of attraction in the way we are defining it, to utilize this energy, this useful mechanism of feedback that you get from your reality, because that's all it really is, you have to realize that the one who's going to receive it needs to be the one for whom that reality is natural, appropriate, normal, and on the level with you. In other words, you send out your desire, and then you become the person to whom this desired reality is natural and normal. You have to make the shift inside you. There's nothing out there. There's no objective reality. It's all part of your illusion. It's on the movie screen of your life. So you can wish and wish and wish for it. But unless you get into that level of vibration for which it can manifest easily, appropriately, logically, be explained that, hey, you know, of course you would be the one, the successful one. Of course you would be the one who would have this great relationship, this great job, this great opportunity, this great healing. You have to be there. You have to be that person. Because it's all happening inside you. It's all happening inside. There's no X outside. It's just one more way in which the universe is saying, listen, you're still giving your power away over here. Listen, you're still stuck in martyred self-pity, judgment. You're still stuck in there. Come on. Come on, get out of there. Because look at these realities that you keep creating. They're showing you where you're making your advances. They're showing you where you're becoming more. And they're showing you where you're staying less. Your reality is going to reflect you to a T. It's perfect. Your reality is perfect just the way it is right now. It reflects every belief that you hold perfectly. It reflects every impression of yourself, every attitude about yourself, every judgment about yourself, every identification you have with yourself, and the identification you have with certain groups and certain people, certain themes, certain philosophies. Every belief you hold about what's real and what's not and what's true and what's not. Your reality is totally, completely reflecting that to you. We're not saying don't desire. Now there are some people who say be desireless. Have no expectations, have no desires, have no preferences, have nothing. That's all right if you're living in the oneness continuously. But as long as you are working on the physical plane in a body and you have an ego, and you have to have an ego to function in the body, it creates your boundaries between self and others. If you don't have your ego, you don't know, you cannot know who you are. Your ego is really your friend turned into an enemy. Nevertheless, if you can really know who you are, and if you can live from that place, then whatever you desire, whatever you can imagine, there's no charge on it. There's no issue on it. Think of how much issue some people have about money. They may claim, oh, I don't like money, and that may be true. I don't really need that much money. That may be true. I'm not attached to money. Okay, if you say so. But if you're having a hard time getting it, you're probably pretty attached to some kind of limiting belief about it. And if you're having a hard time with money, some aspect of your reality is reflecting back to you saying, hello, here's the piece you haven't healed up yet. This piece needs to be lifted energetically. This piece needs to be raised vibrationally. You need to operate from a different place here. If you don't like what you get, you can't go out to the government and apply for something else. You're not a victim. You're the creator of all of this. And your reality is saying, hello, look at this. Now, when you make a great advance in your vibrational field, when you own more of who you are, when you let go of some old limitations of the past, and you step into a greater field of resonance, and you're radiating more light, more love, and you appreciate and care for yourself more, and you feel more connected to who you are, you feel more aware of your divine nature. What a surprise, your reality will reflect that too. But there's so much, as we have mentioned, for example, in just in the money situation, how much struggle people go through over earning and receiving. Difficult to receive, difficult to earn. A lot of beliefs about that. And as long as those beliefs are held, your financial reality will pretty much stay where it is. Because inside yourself, if you are in tune with who you really are, there's no limit to what you can create, what you can allow to come in. You only have to have a clarity of will and choice. All you have to do is to select what you prefer. Many people, when they are doing their creation, manifestation type of work, and they're sending out their desires and requests, making their requests of the universe, and they're preparing themselves to receive it, and yes, even meditating and building up their sense of expectation and sense of connection to the realness of the dream, of the vision that they have. Reality oftentimes will just send you all sorts of stuff so that you can select what you prefer. It is your selection process. For many people, success on the level that they would like it, if it came overnight, would be so overwhelming, they'd blow. They couldn't handle it. So, your reality and you work out a system called time, in which things can come piece by piece. And with each piece, you can dismantle all your resistances on that level. It's a beautiful system. And you set it up. And why did you set it up this way? For your reality to reflect you? So that you could learn more about who you are. It's your nature. You want to know more. You want to learn about you. So many people see themselves reflected in others. They look to others to tell them who they are. They look to others to come and say, look, you're a really beautiful being, or you're really talented, or you're really smart. They'll perform for it. They don't really believe it that much themselves, but they wait for other people to tell them. They're waiting for money to come to them. They're waiting for an opportunity to just drop in. They're waiting for that special loved one to just arrive and knock on their door. So there's an engagement with your reality. In a sense, that's required because it's in the engagement and the interaction with your environment, with your reality, that enables you to hone by your will, by your choice, down to the precise of what you want. And you have to be precise, dear ones, because if you're general, oh, I want lots of money, that's too general. Your reality is going to throw at you way too much stuff for you to process. So the more specific you are, the better. And if you want something specifically and you've got a hidden agenda in it, you're wanting it in a sense for the wrong reason. Your reality will reflect to you whatever you need to see to reveal the hidden agenda so that you can get rid of it. So your desire isn't contaminated. Because if your desire is contaminated and you don't know who you are, when your success comes in, you cannot define it. You cannot be precise. You'll select the wrong things. Lots of opportunities can come into you and you'll select the wrong one. Or at least you'll select one that doesn't go anywhere, that doesn't lead anywhere except to a dead end. Or you can select one that looks really great and just fizzles right away. So the secret to the law of attraction, the secret to manifesting what you desire, is to do it this way, we would suggest. First of all, in your imagination, see that specifically what you think in your usual old-fashioned way of thinking, what's going to make you happy? Start with that. What's the form that is the manifestation, the materialization? It's a form. It's going to come to you in a form. If it came to you in energy, it can come to you in energy all day long and you won't see it. You know, money can come to you in energy all day long. You won't have an extra dollar by the end of the day. You want it in form. You want it in material. Okay? So first of all, you look at what is it that I really desire? And be as precise as you can. Sometimes people have a really hard time knowing what they want. And that's why they don't get anywhere. It's because there's just too many possibilities and they don't know how to select between them. If you're one of those people who have difficulty with that, making choices, being precise, then you need to imagine different options. Get about three of, select a preferred three or four options. And then visualize yourself with each one of those. And extend it throughout your rest of your life and see the impact and what your life could be like with all of those. And what you think in your belief is required to work all of those. How are you going to need to be responding to all of that? Because some people would like a lot of money, but then they would just like to sit on it. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to engage anymore. They're like, okay, well, I'll just have it in the bank. I'll just have it stuffed under my mattress. I'll just have it, you know, in various stocks, bonds, and investments in my special offshore accounts. And I'll just be able to veg. I can just do whatever I want. And what is that? Oh, I don't know yet. I just got to get the money first. Or I got to get the relationship first. And then maybe I can figure out the rest of my life. So what you have to do is to do visual imagination work. Imagine the form in your life and what's it going to do to you. How is it going to change you in your imagination? What changes do you have to make, in other words? You may want a wonderful relationship in your life. Do you have the room in your schedule for the care and tending required for that relationship? Are you too angry to be able to handle another person's sense of order. If it's a job, well, you really don't want to work. You know you have to. I got to work. Well, could it be that without that job, maybe you have an opportunity to find out more about who you are and what you really, really want? And if you got that job or some job, you might feel imprisoned in it the rest of your life. You got that relationship and all of a sudden you feel like you're bound, you can't do this, you can't do that. All those things that you wanted to do together, and for some reason or another, you're this person, you know, then you do this thing together, and you do this thing together, and you do this thing together. You're the Bobbsey twins and doing this and this, staying together, doing everything and whatever your imagination is of this perfect relationship. Some point it just goes, and they live happily ever after. You can't imagine it because it's not real. You get, see, when you want something and you imagine the form of it, you cannot let it stay a fantasy. You've got to look at it throughout your life and look at it in a realistic way. What is it realistically to live with another human being? What is it realistically to work that job? How many hours a week you're going to probably have to give to it? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Of your time. You have to look at it in a practical way to decide specifically which one seems to fit your temperament, seems to be in alignment with who you are, seems to be more congruent with where you're heading in your life. And if you can't imagine the impact of it down 5-10 years into the future, and it just comes, oh, well, I get it, and then we're happy, or I'm happy. You're not clear enough. You can't make a choice that way. A choice between 3 or 4 fantasies? There's no choice there. When you imagine something and you're precise about what you want to have it in a reality form. You want to have it real. You want to know how you're going to be, what you're going to do with it, etc., etc. So if you have an idea, okay, here's what I would like, you need to create a scenario. Not that this is the way it's exactly going to happen, but a scenario of how it's going to unfold that is logical based on who you are and your temperament and your level of energy and your level of interest. In other words, if you want to build a career as a consultant, well, first of all, you have to have your training. You have to know your skills, skill set. You have to have it. You have to do your marketing. You have to go out maybe and give talks and lectures. You have to go out and network with people. You have to build some kind of momentum, maybe something where you can put out a product on a monthly basis or something, and you just start looking at it from a physical plane standpoint, your involvement, your engagement to get this whole thing going till you get to that point where you are the consultant and making a decent living on it. You need to be practical in it. This is physical plane you're talking about. You need to have it according to your preference. It needs to be clean. It's not something that you need to get in order for other people to value you, appreciate you, think highly of you. It's not something that you want just so that you can stop doing anything and don't have to do anything anymore. That you can retire. Once I have that money, I can veg. That's it. I'll just watch TV, I'll do some vacations. I'll go on some vacations and Maybe I'll give some money to some charity. Well, I'll be really hot at a party, you know. I'll be able to go to a party and that'll be nice. You know, it's not really a good vision for you to be a hermit. It's not a good vision for you to be doing nothing. Maybe dabbling in something. No. If you really want to do something, do something. See where it's going. If you want whatever it is to solve your problem, it won't. If only I had fill in the blank, then my problems would be solved. I'd be fine. Everything would be great. Hunky-dory. Yay. That agenda doesn't work. Simplistic agendas do not work. So whatever you desire in form, recognize there's going to be a lot of engagement in reality on your part. You're going to have to interact with your reality a lot. The reason it's not in your life right now is because you don't really want to interact with it on some level, and you're resisting it. Or you prefer hanging out in fantasy land. But once you desire something, once you can imagine it, then the real work begins. For some people, they think it's the hardest part is to figure it out and to get clear about what they want. Now, we want to point out one more thing, too, with that before you go to the next step. And that is that even if you are precise, even if you are clear, it doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly the way it's going to manifest. There are many, many ways of manifestation. And what your reality is going to do is bring you something comparable to that. It may be like that, it may not be like that, but it'll have the same vibration of that. It'll have the same benefit of that. It'll have the same high lifestyle and joy of that. And it may come to you in a way you don't expect. So recognize that you're not signing some kind of contract. It must be exactly like that. The more precision that you get, the better it is for your reality to work with. However, as you go through these next steps, you may change your mind about it in some way. You have to keep upgrading it. It will never be a finished product, this desire, this form that you ask for. Yeah, if it's something real tangible and solid, like I would like a new car, I would like a new job. Yeah, when you get a job, you got it. When you got the car, you got it. It's fulfilled. But there's going to be more to it. There's going to be more to the energy. So we go to the next step. And the next step is now where you need to let go of all your limitations, resistances, and old emotional stuff around receiving. Any place where you don't value yourself, any place where you judge yourself or others, all the judgments, all those kinds of limiting beliefs and so on need to be let go of. Now, you can spend a lifetime getting rid of these things. So what we would suggest here is that for you to, in a sense, identify, let's say, three of your own worst limitations. If you can think of more, great. If you can make a top 10 list, fantastic. These are my limiting patterns that I tend to get stuck with over and over and over and over again. And here's how I react emotionally. Here's who I am during and how I see myself in these patterns. Here's where I let myself get lost. Here's where I give up my power. Here's where I stop making choices. Here's where I compromise. Here's where I go into fantasy. Here's where I do my shtick. If you can find, everybody's got at least three. Three favorite strategies, which essentially are child strategies of how to get something for nothing, really, underneath it all. Or what you really expect of life, what you learned from your parents, the suffering and struggles of your past, any kind of justification for all that hardship, that had meaning. All that hardship had meaning. All the suffering had meaning. So if you just let it go like with a snap of a finger, So what's meaningful in your life now? So that's what you have to think about there in this third step. What's meaningful? What are your favorite old limiting strategies from the person you used to be? Who's that person you used to be? The one you shrink to when in a bad state. Now, before you let it go, you go to the fourth step. And that is raise your vibration. Step into the being that you are going to be. When you receive this, when you have this reality, step into that persona. Who are you in that place? Imagine yourself free of all those limiting patterns. Imagine yourself radiant, loving, beloved, free, empowered, abundant, resourceful, healthy, strong, safe. See yourself there. Step into that self there. Own that. Claim that. Sometimes it helps to get with your future self, to see your future self, the one future self, specifically, who has gotten there. If you need a little help in imagination, go to your future self that's got everything you ever want and is living a fabulous life. What is that vibration about? That future self who has what it is that you want and all the things that you desire manifested are just natural for this person, for this self. Just natural. If you can wake up in the morning, it's just the most natural, automatic thing to know that that which you desire is right there for you. Day after day. And you can choose it over and over. Yes, I like this, I prefer this, and I'm grateful for this. That future self knows all about that. But imagine it. Yourself, the self that wakes up in the morning, is secure knowing that that which you desire is yours. Knowing that you're safe, trusting that your reality is friendly and supplying you with everything that you need and desire. That's natural for you. You're grateful for it. You're celebrating it. You're enjoying it. You're relishing it. You're having a richness of your life filled with love and light and laughter and joy and celebration of life. Really loving life. Feeling good. What would it be if that were just totally natural for you? Automatic. That's the self you want to be. That is the awakened, enlightened, self-aware, self-realized, self-understanding, self-knowing, loving, respecting self, valued self, that self, who lives a life from that place, who never gets down into the petty stuff with the competitions, with dynamics of success versus failure, with neediness, with jealousy, with old angers and judgments, fears and resistances, without all that stuff. What would your life be? Who are you? Who would you be if you could live from that place, engage with your reality, interact with people from that place? What would your life be like? What if you didn't go around with some kind of psychic sign, please don't kick me. Please be nice to me. I'm a nice person, really, really I am. What if you went around with an orientation of being a glorious, beautiful light being, enjoying the tremendous resources, variety, and opportunities, possibilities of your life, and letting other people's order be okay? Let other people's philosophies be fine. You don't have to change anybody else. Only you. What if you could accept everybody on the planet as light beings, regardless of what stinky, nasty things they do? What if you could stop judging everybody? What if you could stop comparing yourself to others and others to yourself? What if you could just embrace everyone? Not overwhelm them with your presence and your love and your cleverness or your points of view, but just be there radiating a sense of value, a sense of love, some laughter, some humor, and just be with people. Yeah, the people you're going to work with, people you're not going to work with, people you're going to just see once and never see again. What would it be like living that divine life? And having that thing that you desire, whatever it is, integrated into your life naturally, as if it's always been there. The fifth step is then from that place, with compassion to the you, stuck in the old patterns and the resistances and the judgments and the limitations, to have compassion for that lesser you, and to do a little healing and loving of that self, and then letting all of those patterns go. Giving them up. If you're a light being, working on a high level of resonance in joy and love, those things will have no meaning to you at that level. They won't stick. They won't be difficult to let go of from there. You've already imagined how it would be to live your life without judging people or yourself or trying to fix people or fix yourself or trying to fix the planet or fix yourself better. Make yourself better than other people. Whatever it is, what would it be like to be this great light being and then take on all this old crap? It doesn't work. That doesn't belong to you anymore. It doesn't have any value to you anymore. It doesn't resonate with where you're at. It's out of your frequency range now. You can let it go. And as long as you stay in the higher frequency and operate from there, the old patterns will be gone. They're gone. They are gone. They're finished. You can let them go. You can give them up. You can give them to the vortex. You can give them to spirit helpers. You can give them to your higher self. You can give them to anyone who, for whom they will not be a problem. They will not be a burden. You can give them to us. They don't stick on us. We don't match with them. The only thing that sticks to you is that which matches your bottom line frequency. And the bottom line frequency is the one on which you operate your day-to-day life. That's your identity in your world. Your day-to-day identity. We don't relate to it. It's not our frequency. So you can give that to us. And we can let it go too. Don't feel bad giving it to anybody. Anybody who's more. Because for us it's just energy. There's nothing bad about it. We don't have any judgment of it. It's not bad. It doesn't limit us. It's just energy. Thank you. We appreciate your gift. Here, have some more energy from us. And every bit of old stuff you give up opens up channels of receiving, opens up capacity to receive more. Just naturally. And so the sixth step is to now expect. Start looking at your reality and say, okay, I'm living my day on this level, which is congruent with what it is I've asked for. So where is it? You're not saying that in a kind of, you know, put your hands on your hips kind of petulant sort of way. No, you're saying, where's the magic? Because you're expecting it now. You're expecting a reality that's congruent with who you are. So you look for the magic. And even if it seems like horrendously negative, weird crap comes your way, stuff that just seems to be potentially devastating, a real setback. And we've talked about this umpteen times, and everybody keeps forgetting this one. It's a test. If you can say, wait a minute, that's not reflective of who I am. And I'm not going to respond the way I've always responded to that type of stuff. I'm going to hold my resonance. I'm going to stay in this light form that I have come to. I'm going to stay out of judgment. I'm going to stay out of limitation. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to fall for that. Okay, so it's a challenge. It's just I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to whine and complain about it and swear about it. Oh, damn it, I wanted something good, and look what happened. And I blew it again. No, you didn't. Your reality, by automatic, when you're open to receive, will just send everything that's there. And you have to say, wait a minute, it's time for me to be selective. I'll take that, but not that. Thank you very much. No, not that either. I'll take that. And you'll find, if you stay in your light self, you'll have the resources, the intelligence, the awareness, the capacity to respond differently to this potential setback or challenge or issues that show up. And you'll take it from that higher level, and you will get a tremendous self-esteem and confidence from it. You'll be amazed at yourself when you do this. Those of you who have done it are just like, wow, wow, I did it. I didn't go back to my old knee-jerk response. I didn't go back into my self-pity. I didn't go back into my anger and judgment and resistance and whining. Hey, I did it. I did it. Because it dissolves. It dissolves. It goes away. And then better things come. Where's the magic now? Where's the magic? Where's the magic? The synchronicities that pull the energies into weaving the energies into alignment with you, with this frequency, so that your reality now begins to sparkle and begins to appear to you on your frequency. And then the seventh step is to receive it. Let it come to you and integrate it right into your life. Let it be part of you. That what you envisioned before, automatic, this is the way it is. You wake up in the morning and there it is. To get from 6 to 7, as you anticipate and look for the magic, you begin to actually expect it. You begin to get the messages from your reality. Hints, whispers, little things coming in that show the energy's moving for you, that things are happening for you. You're moving in that direction. You will get little reinforcements, omens, as you might call them. Now, we're not saying omens that you get when you go to a psychic and the psychic says, oh, you have all this wonderful abundance coming. Oh, yeah, that's what I was programming for. And then you make that psychic more real than you. I said, well, the psychic said, where is it? The psychic said, where is it? Said, it's coming. Now, where is it? Where is it? They said it was coming. I'm waiting. Where is it now? You lose your power. Where are you then? You got to stay in the resonance. It's your reality. You can get confirms from a psychic. You can get confirmations by even watching TV, and there will be messages for you. Turn it on. The money's in the bank. Oh, very good. Yay, I'll take that as a hint. Where's the magic? Where's the magic? Where's the synchronicities? How's it falling into place? In that sixth step, moving into that seventh step, you'll also notice that as these whispers and all these little hints and messages that things are moving in your direction are coming,